WIN in Portland.
CBS News, perilous guerrillas in Cordoba, Argentina have carried out their threat and murdered an American official they had kidnapped. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Police late Friday night found the body of 62-year-old John Egan, the honorary U.S. consul in Cordoba. Egan had been shot in the head. The body was found about 4 hours after a deadline by his captors passed. The guerrillas left a message with the body, and CBS News reporter Ernest McCrary in Cordoba tells about it.
The message was that they had executed Mr. Egan as they had said they would, and they gave general indications as to where the body was. Actually, we finally found it about a quarter of a mile from where they had indicated, but at least around the neighborhood. The implicit thing is that they executed him because the Argentine government did not accept the demands that the Montaneros had made. That is, the government did not show these four people, the four other Montaneros who have been under arrest, and according to what most people believe here, those four people may be either dead or certainly not in conditions to be shown.
In Washington, Secretary of State Kissinger denounced the killing of Egan, calling it a senseless and despicable crime. Authorities in West Berlin Friday night said they will meet the first of several demands by the kidnappers of Peter Lorenz, the Christian Democratic candidate for mayor. The first demand was freedom for 10 persons jailed on charges in connection with a demonstration. Authorities said 8 of the 10 are already free, and the other 2 will be released. The kidnappers of Lorenz also demanded freedom for 6 persons imprisoned on more serious charges and a jetliner to take the whole group to another country. More news in a moment.
They said it could be done by fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks, too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Hi, world. Henny Bracken and Mike Roy's cook thing, warming up the oven for tomorrow's treat. What is it, Chef?
Plutcocker.
What?
Well, it's called Scandinavian pancakes.
Plutcocker?
Yeah.
Well, that's the most unappetizing thing I've ever heard
delicious.
In my life.
Of course, you got to have some lingonberries to go along with.
Oh, we're going to have the accent and the whole routine tomorrow.
Well, you're going to have plutcocker. You got to have the accent.
Well, we're going to have plutcocker, by golly, tomorrow on Mike Roy's cooking thing right here. Would you believe on the CBS Radio Network?
There are signs of compromise between the Ford administration and the Democratic-controlled Congress on the president's controversial program to make oil more expensive by raising import tariffs. The White House says the president will decide over the weekend whether to suspend the remaining $2 of his scheduled $3 a barrel import tariff hike. In turn, the Democrats would let stand his planned veto of their measure to kill the entire tariff hike program. Democratic leaders met Friday with the president. Mr. Ford said all agreed they must work together on the energy crisis. House Republican leader John Rhodes talked about the mood of compromise.
I do think it's good for the country that the Democratic leadership has come up with this blueprint, because it does indicate a tendency on their part to work with the White House, which had not previously been apparent. And I welcome it.
House Republican leader John Rhodes. CBS News has learned that President Ford told his associates that if current investigations of the Central Intelligence Agency go too far, they could uncover the CIA's involvement in several assassinations of foreign officials. CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore reports from Washington that at least 3 assassinations are reportedly involved, and they are thought to have taken place in the late 1950s or early 60s. A fire broke out Friday night at the Carillion Hotel on the oceanfront in Miami Beach, forcing the evacuation of about 900 guests. Several persons were treated at a local hospital, but no serious injuries were reported. Now this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. A little better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold.
For you, the answer is 12-hour Contac.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 Contac capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And Contac doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your cold, your choice.
I'll take the 1 Contac, thank you.
Give your cold to Contac, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contac only as directed.
Those widely publicized rebates by U.S. automakers have ended, but one of them says it will continue them in a limited form for 3 weeks. Chrysler Corporation says it will offer $200 rebates on its remaining new 1974 models and on its 1975 compact custom sports coupes. General Motors, Ford, and American Motors are not continuing the rebates, but are offering price cuts if buyers agree to forgo certain equipment. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A Republican congressman, Representative William Steiger of Wisconsin, says it's extremely unlikely the United States would use military intervention to prevent a cutoff of oil from the Middle East. The 36-year-old congressman made the statement at a news conference today in Seaside. He gave the keynote address at the annual Dorchester Conference of Oregon Republicans. A student consumer group has asked that Pacific Northwest Bell be ordered to disseminate more consumer-oriented information about proposed telephone rate increases. The request has been made to the Public Utility Commissioner by the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group. Oregon Senators Mark Hatfield and Bob Packwood predicted today that a tax cut bill approved by the House will face a filibuster in the Senate unless the attached repeal of the oil depletion allowance is dropped. The Oregon House has approved proposals to hold annual legislative sessions and to lower the minimum age for state legislators from 21 to 18. Both measures now go to the Senate. 97 sports in the NBA. These are all final scores. Philadelphia beat Seattle 112-111. Phoenix over Golden State tonight 102-96. And Cleveland lost to Los Angeles 109-105. Elsewhere, New York 114, Buffalo 106, Washington 106, Detroit 95, Boston beat Milwaukee 107-106, New Orleans 114, Kansas City Omaha 107 in overtime, and Houston beat Chicago tonight 102-87. In college action, Pac-8, Gerald Willett scored a career-high 30 points and pulled down 17 rebounds in leading Oregon to a 97-96 win over Washington tonight in Eugene. The victory snapped a 6-game duck losing streak. Clarence Ramsey of Washington also had 30 points for the Huskies. Oregon State and Corvallis clinched at least a tie for second place in the Pac-8 tonight with a 44-41 win over Washington State. Steve Padakis of WSU led all scorers with 28 points, hitting 14 of Washington State's 17 field goals. Don Smith was high for OSU with 14, followed by Lonnie Shelton with 11 and Paul Miller with 10. In PIL action, Washington 78, Grant 46, and Benson over Madison tonight, 87-68. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver. Occasional periods of light rain this evening. Increasing rain then tomorrow, turning to showers late tomorrow through Sunday. Lows near 45, highs about 58 degrees tomorrow. Winds increasing and the chance of rainfall 100% by tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 57 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
KOIN. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, your guide through the macabre maze of the occult. Love, hatred, and revenge are accepted by us as part of our daily lives. But those who claim to know the spirit world assure us that these emotions don't necessarily die with the death of a mortal, but are sometimes carried over into the hereafter. Our tale deals with love, hatred and a revenge that reached from beyond the grave and made a mockery of the marriage vow till death do us part.
Honestly, Jack, do you think Vinny will come along with us on our honeymoon, too?
Now, Ann, don't talk like a fool. Vinny is dead. Forget him.
He won't let us. Your dear, dead twin brother just won't let us alone, and it doesn't seem to bother you any more than it did when he was alive and tagged along on all our dates. Jack, I can't live with a ghost.
All right, Ann. What do you want me to do, kill him? You know as well as I that Vinny's already dead.
Just make him stay that way, Jack. Just make Vinny stay dead.
Our mystery drama, An Identical Murder, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars William Redfield and Elliot Reed. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you've said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste. That speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis. In God We Trust, America Speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Between love and hate has been walked by tellers of tales ever since tales have been told. For other storytellers, the line between life and death became a thoroughfare on which they balanced fascinating tales of terror. Today, we cross both lines, love and hate, life and death, as our path leads us to the ultimate unknown terror. Our guide along this path is a man named Harry Carlson, who's more experienced climbing mountains than dealing with the unknown.
Let's set the record straight from the start. I'm not a man who sees things. I'm a guy with both feet on the ground, my head on straight. Darn well better be, because my hobby is mountain climbing. And the icy face of a mountain is no place for a guy with jumpy nerves. The funny thing about what I have to tell you is that this whole bizarre adventure started with a climb. A climb I made with the Benton twins. I remember the three of us sitting in the warm tap room of the Reganhof talking about the climb.
Harry, the map shows we shouldn't have too much trouble after we reach this point, about halfway up the north face.
Right, Vinny. Tough part should come when we leave the trail.
I'm Jack. he's Benny. You keep mixing us up.
Wouldn't you think I'd be able to tell you apart after the last 4 years?
Well, Harry, why should you be different than everyone else? People have been calling Jack, Vinny, and me Jack ever since I can remember.
I'd love to talk more with you guys about people mistaking you for one another, but I think we're prepared for tomorrow's climb, and I better hit the sack.
I'm just a lonely young lady looking for a date. Anyone interested?
Anne, what are you doing in Switzerland?
Annie, darling,
listen, pay no attention to my rude twin brother. I am delighted you're here,
Anne. Vinny. And I know you're Vinny because Jack always says my brother, and you say my twin brother.
And since you're such an observant minx, come here and put your arms around me, and I'll show you just how glad I am to see you.
You've made yourself a deal. Hey, my ribs, Jack. Leave me my ribs. I'll need them for the slopes tomorrow.
Oh, what's this about slopes? I don't know how you got here, but now that you're here, there'll be no skiing. You're climbing with us tomorrow.
Please don't take this personally, but I have no head for heights. I'm all right on skis, but climbing is out.
If everyone knew their own limitations, there'd be a lot fewer accidents. Well, good night. We'll meet here tomorrow, bright and early.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea for all of us. Well, what do you say, Jack?
If you don't mind, Vinny, there's something I want to discuss with Jack.
Oh? Private?
Sort of.
Well, now, Anne, you ought to know by now that Jack and I have no secrets from each other. He'll only tell me anyway.
Perhaps, Vinny, that's exactly what I want. It's beautiful up here, Jack. Just beautiful.
And so are you.
Jack, please stop kissing there. I want to elope tonight.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Vinny.
Oh.
From the conversation back in the tap room, I gather you hadn't told him about us yet.
That's right.
Are you going to tell him?
You know I am. It's just... Well, you know how Vinny feels about you, and he is my twin brother.
And don't I know it.
What's that supposed to mean?
That I love you, not Vinny. That I want to live with you, not Vinny.
And?
That it may be hard for even me to tell you apart physically, but there's a world of difference between you. I'm in love with you, Jack, and Vinny had better be told, and soon.
So that's why you've come. You traveled 4,000 miles to pick a fight.
Oh, not really. My boss sent me to Paris to check on some designs, and I was so close, I wanted to see you. And I was right. You still hadn't told Vinny about us.
And it isn't easy. Vinny loves you, too.
But it's you I'm marrying.
You really don't understand how close Vinny and I are. It's something... Well, being twins, I can't explain.
That's been the story of our entire courtship. Wherever we went, there went Vinny also. Sometimes I felt as if I was getting engaged to two men.
You never told me you felt this way.
I've been thinking this way for a long time, and I'm desperate.
An ultimatum?
No. I'm too much in love with you, Jack, to give you ultimatums. All I want to know is, am I engaged to two men? If I am, tell me, and I'll see whether I want to be. But tell me. Or tell him.
Vinny, I have something to tell you.
Oh.
It's about Anne, isn't it? I should have guessed you'd know.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been able to read each other's thoughts. So, aren't you going to congratulate me?
Well, you've just lost me. I knew Anne, but where do the, congratulations come in?
Anne and I are going to be married.
You dirty double-cross!
Oh! Vinny, what do you do?
Behind my back.
Vinny, stop it.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I will kill you.
Okay.
I'll kill you.
Okay, I'm not going to stand here and let you nurse me up.
You serve.
Now are you going to listen to me?
No.
Or do I have to pound your head against the floor?
Okay, Jack. Okay, Jack, let me up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I blew my top. Vinny, what happened to you?
I honestly don't know, Jack. For a minute, I really wanted to kill you.
You almost did. Now calm down and let's talk about my marriage.
No, the only talking I'm going to do is to tell you how sorry I am. I'll make it up to you, Jack. And I'll prove it with my wedding gift.
And I'm Vinny. And I'm doing okay, too. How far are we from the summit?
I'll keep you straight somehow. Catch the low man on the line, and Vinny, you're next, right?
Right. How far from the summit?
Not too far. A couple 100 feet or so. Uh-oh.
Trouble?
Yeah, a little.
Oh, what is it?
There's a pretty easy path to the summit, but to get there, it looks like a tough crevice right in front of me.
How tough?
I don't know. But I don't want to get you guys started on it until I do a little more exploring.
Well, how long do you think it'll take?
Oh, not too long. I don't want to untie my rope. You guys be all right?
We'll be fine. Hey, the wind seems to be getting stronger.
Yeah, it is. And the storm can be real tough. Then we have to forget the summit and start back down, huh?
No, let's give it a try, Harry. Go and take a look at the traverse.
Oh, okay. And watch yourself. Vinny, you hang on to my rope.
All right.
I'll tie on again when I return.
Hey, that wind's really rising. You okay, Jack?
Fine, Ben. How about you?
Well, I'd like it better if we were a little closer together. Can you come up a few steps?
Why not? Hang on to the rope.
Right.
Hey, Ben, don't let the rope go slack. I'm having trouble. I'm slipping.
What? What's that? I can't hear you.
Ben, I can't get a foothold. I'm slipping. The rope, Vinny. Help!
I was almost across the traverse. I heard the scream. Then the slide. My stomach told me what had happened. I looked, and I saw the one man clinging desperately to the face of the mountain, the empty rope dangling from his waist.
Hang on! I'm coming to get you! Hang on!
I couldn't help it. I tried, but he was gone before I could get the rope around me to hold him.
Don't think about it, Vinny. Just hang on till I reach you.
I'm not Vinny. I'm Jack.
What? Wasn't Jack below you? I could have sworn that Vinny was where you...
Vinny's gone. Dead. And I'll be following him unless you get to me. You can call me anything you want, but whatever you call me, the fact remains that I'm Jack. And Vinny's at the bottom of the mountain.
I dreaded going back to the Rheingehof. I didn't know which I feared most. Losing a man from my team, or having to tell Ann Slater that Vinny had plunged to his death. Fortunately, Jack spared me the latter ordeal. But I was put in the middle of a strange and painful scene.
Fault was mine, Ann. All mine. Vinny called to me and I pulled on the rope, but it slipped and then he was gone. I'll never forgive myself. Never.
That's the wrong way to think.
I haven't heard Ann say it's wrong. In fact, I haven't heard Ann say anything since we came back.
I don't know what to say. I'm too shocked.
Well, that's understandable. Maybe we ought to get a doctor.
Oh, no, thanks, Vinny. What am I saying? I called you Vinny.
Oh,
you...
Of course. Vinny is on your mind and...
Oh, no, Jack, don't. Don't hold me. I just want to be alone.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'll see you in the morning.
It looks as though it's going to be a difficult situation for you, Jack.
She'll get over it. She has to. Because she's a girl I love. And I'm going to marry.
A few months passed. I expected to read the announcement of the wedding between Jack Benton and Ann Slater, but... all I heard was that they were seen around town together and no date had been set. Until one day at my office, I looked up and Ann Slater stood there. Only she wasn't the vivacious, laughing girl I remembered. but a frightened, confused woman on the razor edge of a breakdown.
I'm sorry, Harry. Really sorry. I shouldn't have come, but I... Oh, you don't think I'm crazy, do you?
No, no, Aunt, sit down. Let me get your drink.
You were there. You're the only one I could think of who might be able to help.
Brandy, coffee.
He's dead, isn't he? You were there.
Aunt, try to get hold of yourself. What is it?
That's what Jack keeps telling me. He says it's all in my mind, but I know it isn't. It isn't.
Anne, why don't you start somewhere and explain so that I can understand?
It's Jack and Vinny.
Vinny?
You know how close Jack and Vinny were, but what you couldn't know was that all the time Jack and I were dating, Vinny was along.
Well, what does that have to do with that?
Heaven help me, but I think we still are. I think we still are a threesome.
According to medical science, identical twins have the same heartbeat, the same skin, hair tones, and if you took a voice print, you would find that although the voice might vary in pitch and timbre, they would follow a somewhat similar pattern. The question is, would a woman be able to tell the difference between identical twins if she loved one of them? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. A little better.
Sneezing, drips, congestion. What next?
6 or 3 or 1.
Is that an answer or a question?
That's the question when you catch the common cold. For you, the answer is 12-hour contact.
Why?
Well, because you need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule for up to 12 hours continuous relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin.
And contact doesn't.
Right. So, 6 or 3 or 1. Your call, your choice.
I'll take the 1 contact, thank you.
Give your call to contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Company, and three's a crowd. But I'm puzzled about which kind of a third party on a date is more disturbing. A dull and insensitive bore who refuses to take any hints about leaving, or an unseen but definitely felt presence. In other words, a ghost. Ann Slater is trying to explain how she feels about this ghostly third party as we continue with our strange tale.
I feel so disloyal. You must remember, I'm the one who's supposed to help Jack forget about his brother's unfortunate accident. And it seems I just keep reminding him of it instead.
Man, you still haven't made it clear to me just why.
Wherever we go, Vinny is with us.
Well, it's not possible. Vinny's dead.
I know that, but just listen. Last night, we went to the pump room for dinner.
Ah, good evening, monsieur, madame. I have your table over here. As you see, monsieur, it's set for 4,
but I'll have the busboy remove two place settings, and you will have more room.
Oh, thank you, Captain. I appreciate that.
And, Monsieur, may I recommend our special salad? They're all on the table up front. You may serve yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll see.
And then the strangest thing happened. Jack and I sat at the table, and you must believe me, we saw the busboy clear away the other two place settings. We went to the salad table. And when we came back, there was a third setting.
Well, that's easily accounted for. Maybe another busboy started to set up the table for four.
Yes? Then tell me how you account for the fact that the third place had a salad plate heaped with Caesar salad.
Caesar salad? I remember, that's Vinny's favorite. Well, maybe Jack...
We were together at the salad table every minute, and we came back together.
What did Jack say?
What he always says when this happens. Forget it.
Then he isn't as concerned about this as you are.
Oh, that's another thing that's bothering me. He's concerned. I know he's concerned, but he won't admit it. Do you think he's trying to act as if everything were normal so as not to upset me?
Well, now, don't you think that's a strong possibility?
But there are other possibilities.
I don't know what you mean.
I hope you will when I tell you what happened a week ago at an amusement park. Oh, look, Jack. Cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had cotton candy in years.
Well, then you'll have a big, giant portion.
Uh-oh, no. It's too fattening. Just a small one will be fine.
No, you'll see, you'll see. Here you are, darling.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Oh, I wish I could make your eyes sparkle and your lips smile that way when I'm not bringing you cotton candy.
Mmm, delicious, but sticky.
And?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
Mm-hmm.
And?
I'm sorry.
Oh, what's wrong? Why can't I make you happy the way I used to?
It's my fault. I'm all mixed up.
About us?
About us and Vinny. And...
Look, Vinny's dead. We just have to forget him.
He won't let us. He just won't, and you don't seem to understand. Sometimes I think your voice sounds just like Vinny's. But maybe I've mistaken you for... Oh, forgive me, Jack. I just don't know what I'm saying.
It's all right, it's all right. Now, look, I've known a lot of girls. You know that. But you're the one I want to marry, not just for your looks, but for your wonderful sweetness and sensitivity. I know how you must have felt about Vinny always tagging along. It was only natural that when you heard he died, at first you... Well, I suppose you were glad.
No.
Be honest with yourself. Only at first. You were glad that he was out of the way. And because you're feeling guilty about it, you're letting that feeling lead you into imagining all sorts of ridiculous things.
You think that could be the explanation?
Oh, darling, I'm sure of it. Now, look, let's just forget all about Vinny and enjoy ourselves. Which do you want to try? The slide or the shoot the shoot?
Your choice, Jack.
You wait right here. I'll get the ticket.
But, Jack, I want to... Jack, come back a minute. No! No, no! I won't listen! I heard Sweet Sue, just as if Jack were right beside me. But how could that be if he was off buying tickets? I heard it. I heard it.
All right, Anne. All right, now you thought you heard it.
Oh, no one believes me.
I'm not sure what it is you want me to believe, Anne.
You were also there when it happened, on the mountain. You'd know definitely which one of them fell.
Well, I heard the shouts, but I didn't actually see.
There's one way we could be sure. One way there'd be no doubt at all.
How?
Fingerprints. If the body could be recovered.
No chance. Not at least until the spring thaws. But, Anne, that still wouldn't explain the strange happenings.
Maybe not. But can't you see that I'm terrified I'm marrying the wrong man? If I knew which one had died on the mountain... At least I'd be sure about the man I'm supposed to marry. I'm coming. Jack!
Hi.
Didn't you get my note?
Oh, you bet I did. That's why I'm here.
All right, now, what's this about your taking a trip?
I said it in the note. I just have to get away for a while and think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where are you going?
I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to know.
Anne, what's happened to us?
That's what I'm going to go and try and figure out.
Look, you're not going.
What?
I mean it, not without me. I love you. I love you more than life itself.
Jack, that's very sweet. But if you do love me, you're going to have to let me get away for a short while to get my head straight.
Why? What have I done to you?
I'm afraid I've done it to myself, Jack. It's not you.
All right, Look, may I have a cup of coffee?
It will have to be instant because I don't want to miss my plane.
Okay, instant.
Lucky I left the kettle out. I've put most of my other pots and pans away.
Look, if it's too much trouble, don't bother.
It will only take a minute. No. Oh, no. Please, God, no.
Anne, what is it? What is it? What's the matter?
You've been sitting in that chair all the time, haven't you?
Yes, of course.
I mean, you didn't come into the kitchen, did you?
Well, darling, I told you I've been here. Now, Anne, what is it? What happened?
Nothing. I just got frightened.
Oh, darling, come on, tell me.
I thought I heard you whistling Sweet Sue.
You thought Sweet Sue? Well, why should that get you so upset? As a matter of fact, I was.
But I heard it close up in the kitchen with me.
Oh, you see, I'm worried about your being alone.
The kettle. I'll get your coffee.
All right. Look, at least let me drive you to the airport, will you?
Please forgive me, but I have to finish packing. Here's your coffee.
All right. What about the airport?
Let me think about it while I pack.
Three valises? How long are you thinking of staying?
Until I feel I can handle the situation. You can close the one on the love seat.
All right. Is it all right if I put my coffee on the night table?
Be my guest.
Your guest. I'd rather be your husband. Oh, love. When are we going to get married?
I always forget my toothbrush. No, there it is.
Look, Anne, did you hear my question?
I heard.
Well?
Let's go back into the living room.
All right, what about the other valise?
I'll leave it. I may have some last-minute things.
Now what?
Look on the table. Right there, on the table.
What? You mean the coffee cup sitting there?
And the lighted cigarette. I don't smoke. And you haven't lit a cigarette since you came in. Now I know I brought only one cup in from the kitchen and you left it on the night table in the bedroom, so how can
now,
you...
Now, Anne, calm down, please.
Now you know why I'm going away. And you also know why I may never come back. I just can't go on like this, Jack. I can't.
Harry, you know where she went and you're going to tell me.
I have no idea where Anne is.
I tell you, I've got to find her.
Now, Jack, I'm not much on giving advice, but Anne's a big girl. I imagine if she wanted you to know where she was, she'd let you know.
Harry, tell me this. Did you and Anne talk about that day on the mountain?
I've already told you. I think you should ask Anne about our conversation.
Oh.
Now, look, Jack, I got a lot of work to do, so if you don't mind...
Yeah, I get it. You're kicking me out, aren't you, Harry?
Now, please, Jack, I... What's that? I was looking at you, and suddenly I heard...
Your phone, Harry.
Huh? Oh, yeah, excuse me. Hello? What? But how did it happen? Where is she?
It's Anne. What's happened?
Hold it, Jack. Skiing accident. Yeah, I see. Yes, I'll take care of it.
Oh, no, it was about Anne, wasn't it?
Yes. She's in a skiing accident, but she's all right. She asked the hospital to call me.
All right. What hospital? Where?
Jack, she called me.
sweet of you to come. They tell me I should be out in a few days.
Well, what happened? Jack has told me so many times you're an expert skier.
What happened really had nothing to do with skiing. It was eerie. I was all alone at the top of the run. It was a beautiful day. And I was just about ready to push off when I heard. I looked around, but I was alone. And then I heard someone whistling. I panicked. I dug my poles in and took off. But the sound followed me. I knew I was going too fast, but I just wanted to get away from the sound. I wanted to go faster than all those awful sounds. But I couldn't. And then, well, I never even saw the tree I hit.
Mm-hmm. And I have something to tell you. When that call came from the hospital, Jack was with me in my office. He knows about your accident.
Oh, well, I don't suppose I could have kept it a secret.
Anne, are you all right? I got here as fast as I could. I should never have let you go alone. Hello, Harry. Anne, please, are you all right?
Jack, I will be in a few days.
Oh.
The doctor says it isn't serious, just a mild concussion. But, Jack, you shouldn't have come.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. Not only am I here, but I'm going to stay until you get well, and then we're going to get married immediately.
Jack, don't you understand that the reason I went away was because I wasn't sure about...
Well, I'm sure. Darling, I'm sure you need me, and from now on you'll be with me, and I'll be here to solve all your problems.
Having the man you love by your side in times of trouble can be a great comfort. But it also can be greatly disturbing if you're not sure whether the man by your side isn't the wrong man, the wrong twin, and perhaps even a murderer. We'll be back shortly with a resolution of our Anne's dilemma.
Inside your feet. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
You feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk. Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead. Its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk, catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
The phrase ménage à trois means a household made up of three people, usually two men and a woman. But the three can be any combination that medical science and the new sexual freedom can devise. In our story, Anne Slater, 1 week before her marriage to Jack Benton, was deeply worried about a possible ménage à trois, But her concern was that the third person in her menage was a ghost. Harry Carlson, the best man, was also worried.
I certainly didn't relish the idea of Jack Benton asking me to be his best man, but my guilt over the death of his twin brother left me no choice. And so, 3 days before the wedding, I found myself Jack's guest at a charming cottage by the sea that he and his brother had inherited. It was here that he had decided to spend their honeymoon. We were alone that first night, just Jack and me.
Well, I'm sure glad you could make it, Harry. There's no one in the world I'd rather have as my best man, except, of course, Vinny.
Thank you for the compliment. Who's upstairs?
Hmm? Well, you're the only guest.
Yeah, but there's somebody up there. Surely you can hear the footsteps.
There's no one there.
Oh, you must be putting me on, Jack.
I tell you, there's no one.
Now, don't tell me you don't hear those steps. Must be someone making them.
Okay, if you want, you can look for yourself.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Hello? Who's there? Let's not play games. I'm Harry Carlson. There's someone in the bedroom. Hello? Hello? Jack? You up here? Jack, what the devil's going on? The next day, when Ann called and asked to see me privately, I knew what it was about. I dreaded the meeting. But there was no way out. I met her, as she asked, at a little restaurant overlooking the sea.
We can't look at the ocean, but this table's far enough away from everyone so that we'll have some privacy.
How are you, Ann? You look completely recovered.
Physically, I'm just fine, but mentally, Harry, I just have to find out if I'm going crazy or... You've spent a night with Jack in the beach house, and I want to know if...
If I heard anything strange.
Yes. Whenever I'm with Jack, I don't know how exactly to describe it. There's always a feeling of another person. A presence. Someone else there. Did you feel that too?
You're not crazy, Ann.
Oh, thank heaven. You felt it too. Harry, I think you saved me.
From what, Ann?
Sometimes I'm absolutely sure that the man I'm going to marry isn't Jack, but Vinny. Now I know what I have to do. I'm going to call the wedding off.
I thought it was supposed to be bad luck if the bridegroom saw the bride before the wedding.
I think it's only on the same day or something like that.
And alone here in your room at the motel, what will people say?
What will people say when they hear that there's not going to be a wedding?
You know, I've always loved your sense of humor, until now.
I'm not joking.
No, you're not.
I don't mean I won't marry you. I will, just as soon as you level with me. Don't you see, I can't go into a marriage with a man who just laughs off something that's terribly important to me.
Anne, please, I'm not doing that. I simply don't know what you're talking about.
When you do, maybe we can go ahead.
Okay. Okay, all right. All right. I have been lying to you.
Oh, Jack. But why? Why did you lie?
Because, darling, I didn't want to worry you. I thought Vinny would go away.
Then it is. Vinny, or his ghost.
You wanted the truth, didn't you?
Yes.
Then you're going to have to be able to face it. You knew, of course, that Vinny was in love with you.
I knew.
I mean, I won't pretend that I can explain it, but we were identical twins. You must remember how sometimes we didn't even have to talk because we knew what each of us was thinking.
I remember. Sometimes it drove me crazy.
Well, somehow. Now, I don't know how.
Vinny is still with us. I feel him at times so strongly that I've even started talking to him.
Then you're saying that Vinny is a
ghost. But look, there are ways of getting rid of ghosts.
You mean something like exorcism?
Whatever you call it, there are people, mediums, who get through to the other world.
What makes you think Vinny can be made to leave us alone?
Anne, I'm telling you, I'm sure he'll do it. Out of his love for you, I know that was genuine.
But how would I go about it? I don't know anything about the spirit world.
I made some inquiries. I have the name of a reputable medium, no phony. And I've spoken to him, and he's agreed to help.
You spoke to him about me?
Yes, and he feels exactly as I do, that Vinny's ghost will be more apt to listen to a plea from you.
This is your first visit to a medium?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Let me explain briefly what may happen. I will go into a deep trance, and I will call to him and ask him to talk with you. If you hear him, you may answer him, but otherwise you must keep quiet. All right?
All right.
Vincent Benton. Vincent Benton. The one you loved on Earth is here. You know her, Vincent Benton, the girl named Ann Slater. She wants to talk with you. Are you there?
He's here.
Shh. Vincent Benton, listen. I speak for Ann Slater and your brother Jack. Stop that! You have no reason for anger? Listen to us. Your actions are making Ann Slater and your twin brother Jack very unhappy. You must realize that you will only have peace when you give them peace. You must understand that your peace and their happiness lies in their marriage.
Hey, stop! 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 Let go of me! You're hurting me! Let go! I must get back to the sphere where I belong! Let me go! I'm not one of you!
Mr. Carruthers! Are you all right? What happened?
I'm sorry. I cannot help you. I don't believe anyone can. We contacted a malignant, a very evil spirit. And it's best that you leave immediately.
And the wedding took place just as planned. As I followed Jack and Anne up the aisle, I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I looked around. Everything seemed perfectly normal until Jack took Anne's hand.
Oh, your hand's like ice, Jack.
Harry, do you have the ring?
I handed Jack the ring. And suddenly my blood ran cold. Because very faintly, I heard it. I knew that Anne had heard it too, because I saw her lips tighten. But her hand was steady as the ring went on her finger. And then it was over. And they were man and wife. At the reception after the ceremony, I was only counting the minutes until the last guest left, and I could also decently leave. Nothing more had happened, but I still desperately wanted to get away. After what seemed an interminable length of time, only Anne, Jack, and I were left. I took Anne aside to offer my good wishes.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you. I owe you a lot.
Oh, you don't owe me a thing. It's just... you sure everything's going to be all right?
You heard the whistling at the ceremony, too. Don't worry. Jack and I have made up our minds. We'll be fine.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you will be. I'll just go back to the cottage, pack my bag, and clear out.
This is going to sound silly, but Jack and I decided we wanted to be in the cottage alone for the next few hours.
Of course, I understand. What time should I drop by?
Well, half an hour or so. Jack and I are walking back along the beach.
I don't ask you to believe what happened next. I only tell you what I saw with my own eyes. As I stood on the steps of the church and watched them walk on the wooden planks that had been laid along the beach to form a crude boardwalk. Their backs were to me, and Jack's arm was around Anne's waist, when suddenly, I'll swear, there were two arms around her waist, and one of them was encased in ice.
Why is it suddenly so cold?
I think the wind has come up.
I don't feel any wind, but Jack, I'm freezing. Let's walk faster.
Darling, I can't. Look, you run on ahead and light a fire, will you? I'll be along in a minute.
Don't be long.
I won't. Jack, please let me go. I really tried. I tried to throw you the rope. Look, believe me. You know Anne would never have married me. I had to take your place. It was better for Anne. Oh, please, Jack. Let me live. Please. Go back to being dead.
As I watched, the arm encased in ice grew to a whole man. With his icy arm locked around the bridegroom's shoulders, led him inexorably off the planks and across the sand and into the sea, where they both disappeared from view.
Harry Carlson told us, you don't have to believe it, but I have to report that the bridegroom's body was washed ashore on the following day. Coroner's finding? Death by drowning. There was, however, no explanation offered as to why the new bridegroom had suddenly decided to go swimming by himself with his clothes on. I'll be back shortly.
Hello, I'm Helen Hayes. There's something very important happening in this country. High school students from 60 nations are living here for a year in the United States. They're learning about us, about our families, our schools, our communities. And we're learning from them. It happens through American Field Service, AFS, and the thousands of people who give their time to help others. Volunteers help find families to host students. They arrange activities in the community and help raise scholarship funds. AFS is an exciting and rewarding activity that deserves a place in your town or your city. To find out how you can help bring an international experience to your school and community, write AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York. That's AFS 313 East 43rd Street, New York, New York.
Castor and Pollux, the heavenly twins fixed and immutable in the sky, made a bargain with Zeus. When one died before the other, they were to be together always. Only they were to spend 6 months in heaven and 6 months in hell. I like to think that the Benton twins made the same deal to be together. But what troubles me is which twin belonged in heaven and which in hell. Our cast included Elliot Reed, William Redfield, Roberta Maxwell, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger has condemned Friday night's murder of an American diplomat in Argentina. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Kissinger called the killing of John Egan a senseless and despicable crime that shocks the sensibilities of all civilized men. Kissinger called Egan a loyal citizen who served his country quietly and effectively. Egan, the honorary U.S. consul in Cordoba, Argentina, was found dead in a residential area of the city. He'd been shot in the head. Just a few hours earlier, a deadline set by his captors had passed. The abductors, members of a left-wing Peronist group, demanded the government prove four of their missing comrades were still alive. The Argentine government refused, saying it would not yield to terrorists. More news in a moment.
Give your hand.
Three or one? That's the question when you catch the common cold. Then take 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact capsule. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief from sneezing, congestion, drips. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. Your cold, your choice. 6 or 3 or 1. Give your cold to contact, the number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Give your cold to contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact only as directed.
President Ford may be seriously concerned about what could come to light in the current probe of the Central Intelligence Agency. Daniel Shore reports.
President Ford, CBS News learns, has warned associates that if current investigations go too far, they could uncover several assassinations of foreign officials in which the CIA was involved. The president reportedly indicated this would embarrass the government and damage relations with at least one foreign country. Details of the assassinations are being very closely held. They are believed to have numbered at least 3 and to have occurred during the 1960s or late 50s. James Schlesinger, now defense secretary and former CIA director, uncovered them, as learned, when he asked CIA employees in May 1973 to report to him on any questionable activities they knew about. In August 73, Schlesinger banned any further use of assassination. President Ford, it's understood, only learned of the assassinations after last December's New York Times report on CIA domestic surveillance. Director William Colby reported to the president on that and also briefed him about other potential minefields, including the assassinations. The president was reportedly shocked by the killings and mentioned them internally as a reason for extreme caution and security in the investigations of the CIA by the administration and Congress. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
David Bellin, executive director of the Rockefeller Commission, says the CIA played no role in the assassination of President Kennedy. Bellin, who is also a counsel to the Warren Commission, says he believes Lee Harvey Oswald alone murdered Kennedy. Comedian and political activist Dick Gregory charged the CIA was involved in the president's murder. Gregory said the CIA wanted Kennedy killed because the president was planning to break up the agency in the wake of the Bay of Pigs fiasco. In New York Friday night, President Clarence Adamy of the National Association of Food Chains said food prices, especially beef prices, have already started to decline. Adamy told why he expects the trend to continue this year.
Biggest factor is supply. Great outlook for supply. In 1974, we had a good crop, although not a great crop, but demand went way down. Particularly foreign demand has gone down, and that has increased the amount of supply relation to demand.
Adamy said present indications are that American farmers will have a very good harvest this year. 6 members of the U.S. Congress have arrived in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, for a fact-finding mission on the deteriorating military situation in Cambodia. Their plane landed at Phnom Penh's airport Saturday morning, just about 2 hours after the area was shelled by communist-led rebels. Now this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhaid ointment. Hemorrhaid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhaid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
The Black Dahlia was a nickname given to a girl who was murdered in one of Los Angeles' most bizarre, unsolved criminal cases. It comes to television with none other than Lucy Arnaz playing the lead. I'm Jerry Dunphy, your host for Entertainment West. Heard every Saturday over most of the CBS radio network stations. Tomorrow I'll be talking with Lucy about this dramatic change in her career and her feelings about playing a young girl living in the 1940s. That's Entertainment West tomorrow on the CBS radio network.
In New Orleans Friday night, a police officer stopped a motorist in the French Quarter for a traffic violation. The man drew a gun and fired on the officer, then ran into a nearby building. Police stormed the building and the gunman was killed. One police officer and a woman bystander also died. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A position on whether the United States should intervene militarily if governments through manipulation of raw materials threaten the nation's economic survival will be thrashed out by Oregon Republicans this weekend. The Republicans are meeting in Seaside for the annual Dorchester Conference. Another question before the conference is whether the government should outlaw any payment to extortionists as a hardline attempt to stop worldwide kidnapping and hijacking by extremists. The remaining issues are whether the government should engage in deficit spending to combat the recession, whether limits should be placed on the number of terms congressmen may serve, and whether Oregon should have an open primary. Earlier Friday, the GOP State Executive Committee, meeting in Astoria, voted in favor of an open primary to replace the present system where voters cast their ballots only for candidates of their party registration. The Executive Board of a union representing 14,000 Washington State employees is scheduled a closed-door meeting today to consider asking for a strike vote. Up for consideration by the Board of Washington Federation of State Employees is a proposed 11.43% average pay hike included in the supplemental budget passed by the House. 27-year-old Lyle Raymond Bunyard of Portland has been placed on 5 years probation for negligent homicide and a traffic death. He was given the sentence in the death of 21-year-old Dean Harry Hauser of Portland on June 8th. The monthly meeting of the Oregon Student Public Interest Research Group Board of Directors will be held today in Portland. Board action is expected on a proposed salary increase for the Osberg professional staff, election of a new executive committee member, and appointment of a hiring committee for selection of an administrator for Osberg's internship program. The national chairman of the Energy and Environment Committee of the National Association of Counties, Mel Gordon of Portland, has announced a 6-point program on energy and environment. Gordon, Multnomah County Commissioner, says the plan proposed by the nation's counties include maintenance of clean air standards and comprehensive energy conservation legislation. Other proposals are increased funds for non-nuclear alternative energy sources, particularly solar power, comprehensive solid waste legislation emphasizing energy and resource conservation and recycling, and increased mass transit funding. The final proposal is for reduction of waste at the source through strong product packaging standards. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area: periods of rain today changing to showers tonight and Sunday. Highs in the upper 50s today, near 55 Sunday, low tonight in the mid-40s. Wind southeast increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain near 100% today and tonight. Currently at the airport, it's cloudy. The visibility is 15 miles. The temperature is 49 degrees. The wind is southeast, 5 miles per hour, barometric pressure 29.91 inches and falling, relative humidity 93%. There's smoke over the city of Portland. Downtown, it's 46 degrees. That's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.